concerts, Grammys, performing all over the world, opera star Renee Fleming has done it all, except perform in East Lansing. Tonight, the soprano can check that off her list as well. Renee Fleming spoke with WKAR's Scott Pohl about her latest album, singing for Queen Elizabeth II, and the program she has planned for MSU's Wharton Center for Performing Arts this evening.
I decided that I wanted to, because it's my first time there, I wanted to really make a fun program with a tremendous amount of variety in it, sort of indicating a broad array of interests that I've had, musically speaking. I love song recitals. I love poetry. And in classical music, of course, we have the pleasure of being able to perform 300 years of music. So I'm starting in the Baroque, actually, in the 17th century with Handel arias, and all in English. And then I am singing three Strauss songs. Richard Strauss is my Desert Island composer. A couple of arias from André Previn's A Streetcar Named Desire. Then after intermission, French songs. Debussy, it's his 150th birthday this year. And Canteloube songs, which are hugely popular settings of mountain songs from the region in France called the Auvergne. And I'm ending the program with Italian arias that everybody loves, popular Italian arias. So I think it's going to be fun for all of us, for me too, I hope.
Now, I understand that this performance is part of a limited number of recitals like this that you're doing this year. How do these recitals fit in with the rest of your obligations, and what are those obligations?
That's a great question. You know, I do a huge variety of things now because, of course, opera is part of my calendar. Orchestral concerts, whether of, you know, gala nature or of a whole weekend of three or four concerts. I have, I love recitals, as I said. I sing all over the world. So after this, I go to Asia for a tour through China and Taiwan and Hong Kong. Very interesting tour. I'm also Lyric Opera of Chicago's creative consultant. So that's been a really fascinating expansion of my duties, and I'm enjoying really thinking about, you know, all kinds of things that relate to arts advocacy and presenting and audience development. It's been fascinating.
Tell me about the accompaniment for a program like this. Who's playing with you?
This is Richard Beto, who's a very long-time friend and colleague. He is Houston Grand Opera's chorus master and also the head of the opera department at Rice University. And we've known each other since we were about 17 years old. We met at a summer festival, the Chautauqua Festival, and we've been colleagues and ever since. So he brings a great deal of flair to and experience, and we have a wonderful time together when we can find time to actually work together. So this is piano. The piano recital is a long-held tradition that comes really from people singing in the parlor in people's homes. It wasn't that long ago that there was no recorded anything, no film, no television, no radio. And so all of the music that was heard was produced live by people, and a lot of it was made at home.
I wanted to ask you about winning another Grammy. You just won your fourth Grammy Award for Best Classical Vocal Solo. Tell me about your most recent recording.
It's called Poem, and it consists of three major orchestral pieces for soprano, all French. The most famous and best known would be Ravel's Scheherazade. Henri Dutilleux, who is probably France's best-loved and known 20th century composer, was a collaborator with me on the songs that he wrote, Le Temps de l'Horloge, and the third piece, the Messiaen's Poem pour Me, which was a cycle that he wrote for his wife probably 60 years ago. So this is a really serious album, and to have it receive this kind of validation is a tremendous gift.
Does winning Grammy Awards ever get old?
No, winning a Grammy never gets old. In fact, I will never forget meeting Sir George Schulte and walking into his studio for the first rehearsal and seeing 30 of them lined up on his windowsill. So that's pretty unusual. Leontine Price, when I met her also, I think she had 13 or 14 of them. And I'm sure they treasure them just as much as I do. It's an incredible honor. It's the highest honor we have in the U.S. for a recorded legacy, which requires years and years of effort.
You have some catching up to do then.
Yes, well, I think that's highly unlikely. Yeah, that was an extraordinary time.
One of the landmark events in your career in the last couple of years has to have been performing on the balcony of Buckingham Palace to celebrate the Queen's Jubilee last year.
That was amazing. I mean, just to be in the palace is extraordinary. And to be able to go out on the balcony, which I believe historically has only happened to members of the royal family, was such a thrill. The whole event, I mean, to be able to perform in events like that, you can't underestimate the excitement of the group mentality of all the performers who are backstage. And that's half the fun, is really meeting all of these iconic and legendary performers as well.
People who would like to learn more about you, I want to direct to an extraordinary interview you did last year with Alec Baldwin on his WNYC program called Here's the Thing.
Oh, you heard that?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he's a terrific interviewer, and it's very in-depth, and he's so musically curious himself. He asks a lot of interesting questions.
You said to him that you hate talking on the telephone, so I want to thank you for indulging me in talking with me on the telephone.
Oh, that's very kind. It's true. I try to protect my voice, and talking on the phone actually is a very fatiguing, vocally fatiguing thing.
With Renee Fleming, I'm Scott Pohl for Current State.